From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, the Charleston Fall Home Show, CharlestonHomeAndDesign.com, and TryAnInteriorDesigner.com. This is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
Looking back on the seeds I've sown, saving dimes, spending too much time on the telephone. Who says you can't go home? Who says you can't go home? There's only one place, they call me one of their own. Just a hometown boy, born a rolling stone. Who says you can't go home? Who says you can't go back?
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was by Bon Jovi, Who Says You Can't Go Home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Lily Redstone. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which happens every January, and the Charleston Fall Home Show, which is scheduled for August 27th through the 29th. And we also organize the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, and that will be happening in November of this year as well. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking to Tori Mullen with Sherwin-Williams Paints. Also, Tricia Peterson with Island House Real Estate. And they've got, in addition to them helping you with buy and sell real estate, they also have a program where they purchase homes, and they bring in an interior designer and a custom builder, and they fix those homes up and then put them up for sale. So it's a really interesting program, a little outside of what a normal real estate, an average real estate company does. And then we'll also be talking with remodeling contractor Tommy Albrecht with Just Additions and Remodeling. And Tommy has got some exciting news. He has just taken over the business, Just Additions and Remodeling. He's been working at Just Additions and Remodeling for a while now. And the founder of Just Additions and Remodeling, Richard Runnels, has just retired and is enjoying his time now in a house he built in North Carolina. So we'll be talking to Tommy Albrecht with Just Additions and Remodeling, not just about his company, but also some of the projects that are going on. Remodeling, building and remodeling right now are red hot. And so it's one of those things that if you are still planning to do some building or remodeling, you might want to start talking to the pros right now, because there's a little bit of a backlog going on. Have a great weekend. And joining us on the phone right now is Tori Mullen with Sherwin-Williams Paint. How are you doing, Tori?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Tori, everybody knows about Sherwin-Williams, but talk about what you do with Sherwin-Williams.
Sure. So I'm a designer account executive, and my role is really to support interior designers in the Charleston area, as well as design students. And so in the student realm, that could be just preparing them for what that vendor relationship should look like and how to really leverage and get the most out of those relationships, as well as continuing education courses once they've graduated from school and are in the field. So those are some of the ways that we educate. We also have our color trends that come out every year. And in years that aren't COVID, we've hosted events, which have been a lot of fun. And we also have opportunities to feature our designers on our social media, SW Design Pros, or in Charleston Home and Design Magazine.
Gotcha. Yeah. And there, and we have a feature about the new color trends that Sherwin-Williams came out with for 2021. And in our new issue that's out right now of Charleston Home and Design Magazine, our winter issue. And talk about the 2021 Sanctuary palette of colors.
Yeah, Sanctuary is all about biophilia, and biophilias are principles that bring the outdoors in. And so whether that be using those green tones that are in your environment outside your window, or the blues of the sky in rooms that you want to transition from the exterior really into the innermost spaces of your home, it's really about creating a place that brings you back to your humble beginnings and your roots in nature. And so it's lots of woods and very warm tones that just help you feel grounded.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we've been spending so much time indoors that that really makes a lot of sense to try to bring some of those colors of the outdoors inside the home.
Exactly.
There's also, as part of the new feature in Charleston Home and Design Magazine, an interview, a Q&A interview with Sue Wadden, and she is the face and voice of color for Sherwin-Williams, and she's director of color marketing at Sherwin-Williams. She's an interior designer, and have you met Sue before?
I have. Sue is a mentor, and I like to consider Sue a friend. We worked together when Sherwin-Williams launched in Lowe's. And so my dream job as a child was to name the color, the paint colors, silly as that may sound. And so when the Lowe's collection came out, I knew there was going to be new colors and that somebody had named these colors. And I had made it my mission to meet this person. And lo and behold, I met Sue, and she's been really a mentor to me when I look at her and see how passionate she is about what she does and how that really trickles down to all of the design account executives. It's such an encouragement, and she's really an awesome lady. When I met her at the Lowe's thing, I asked her, please just tell me what one of the color names are since you named all of the colors. And she said her son Matthew loved dinosaurs, and so one of the colors is Matasaurus Rex.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't realize that Sue actually she comes up with the names for all these different colors.
So for our big color collection and the Color Snap Suite, I can't say that Sue is the one who wrote those names, but when the Lowe's palette came out, she was the one to name those colors. That was something that happened so quickly that there really was no time to kind of collaborate, so it just came out. However, when we have a new collection out, Emerald Designer Edition, and we collected names and color option names for this new collection, we were only going to select a few, but there were so many good submissions. They picked 50. And then Sue named those other colors in that Emerald Designer Edition.
Gotcha. I'd probably be good to come up with the numbers that are associated with the different colors, not the actual names themselves. But I've always been curious because, boy, it must be a big challenge with regards to the color white or gray, because how many whites and how many color grays does Sherwin-Williams have?
A bazillion. Endless. And it's interesting because you'll see something that doesn't look white to you be called white. So often I'll explain to somebody who's going through the color selection process, just eliminate the names totally. Don't let yourself get sidetracked because it says that it's white heron and it looks gray.
Mm-hmm.
So these are just, we have to have a name to identify it, and it doesn't need to be taken so literally.
Mm-hmm. Right. Why do so many builders and paint contractors, why is Sherwin-Williams their go-to paint?
I think it's not just about the paint, but about the people. So you can get paint anywhere, but in our stores, we've really done a great job of creating a community with our painters and a relationship. And the want and desire to serve them is really there. We want them to be successful, and we will deliver. We have their product when we need it. We can do what they need us to do. And so if it was just about paint, obviously we use quality ingredients and we have a quality product, but I think that it's really the service that they get that keeps them coming back to Sherwin-Williams.
Mm-hmm. I would think the multiple locations that Sherwin-Williams has is also a key factor too. I mean, I was on John's Island the other day and was looking for something totally different, and I'm like, I didn't even know there was a Sherwin-Williams here. I mean, it's right down the street from another Sherwin-Williams.
Yep.
And that's got to be something that's in the convenience for the paint contractors has got to be something that's very, very important to the secret of success for Sherwin-Williams.
Absolutely. And that ability to, you know, transfer product in between stores pretty easily and to meet that need almost immediately, mm-hmm. not having to wait for something to come in from a warehouse. We almost have like little satellite warehouses all throughout the area. So I think that's super important to be able to get what you need when you need it.
That makes perfect sense. How did you get into the paint business, Tori?
So paint has run in my family on my mom's side. My grandmother and grandfather met at F&H. My grandmom took the orders and my grandpa mixed them. And later in life, my dad actually became a painter. And so as a sassy little preteen, I had the option of either staying home and be quote unquote grounded or go and work with dad. And so I went to work with dad and really, really loved painting, and he always used Sherwin-Williams. I then came down to the College of Charleston and got a degree in studio art. And of course, the big question for anybody with a studio art degree is, what are you going to do with your life now?
You're right.
How are you going to sustain and make money? And so I did not know that answer. And my dad said, hey, you know what? Sherwin-Williams, I've been in my store and I see a lot of women working there now. I didn't notice that before. It looks like they're really having a push for more diversity in their stores. And I know that you know paint from working with me and, excuse me, you definitely know color from your college career, so you should give it a try. And so I applied, and it was the only job I applied for. And I explained that when I went into my interview, I wanted a job, and when I left, I wanted to work for Sherwin-Williams. And this is now my 8th year with Sherwin-Williams, and it has been just a plethora of opportunities and encouragement in a career that was totally unexpected.
That's very interesting. And do you have a design background?
So I have the studio art background, so my specialty is color. And so that's great because the people that I work with are experts in design, and I can really support just that color need. And so whether that be finding a color that already exists, giving them the tools to match, or going on site and matching. So when you have a situation where the color is on a surface that can't be matched because of shadows with a matching tool, I'll take my fluid acrylics out and match that color, dry it right on site, and then dry it on an index card. We'll take it back to the store, and then we color match it there. Mm. And so, although it's not necessarily a design background, I think that there has been aspects of that scattered throughout.
Right, right. Well, color is one of those things that is something that designers really embrace. And we offer these free design consultations with interior designers at our home shows. And they always ask us, can you get us a paint deck? Which is one of those things that they're about 2 inches thick, and they've got every color. You know, Sherwin-Williams has a paint deck. Other brands have paint decks and stuff. And so, and when it comes to picking colors, that's something that's incredibly important, because you there are some do's and don'ts, and it's easy to make mistakes. Like I always mention gray as gray, the color gray can look purple sometimes, right?
Yep, exactly. And so colors change based on what is put next to them. And I think that's the most important thing for anybody to remember when they're picking a color. Even when you see a color in a friend's house and say, oh my gosh, I love that, I want that in my house. Not only may all of your finishes be different, your lighting may be totally different, and that is also going to impact the way that you see a color. Mm-hmm. So one of the easiest ways, if you move into a place and you hate the color on the wall and you just wish it was a little different, you can get a smart light bulb and just change the temperature, play around with that a little bit until you find something that you like. If that's not enough, then of course you're going to try to change the color. A lot of people make a mistake when they sample. Well, a couple mistakes when they sample. They try that sample in the middle of the wall. And if you have that existing color on the wall and you put your sample in the middle, you only see colors based on what's put next to them. And that existing color is not going to be there at the end. That's when you have that surprise moment when the room is done and you're like, oh, that's not what I thought it was going to look like. Mm. So what I suggest is taking that sample and painting it in the bottom corner where there's a door. So you can go up the wall a couple feet and across the wall a couple feet. Then you stand back and look at how that looks with your floor and your trim, and even going into that next room and how it interacts with those colors. You're not going to be surprised when you finish the room if you sample a color like that.
That's a great tip. And Sherwin-Williams, do you folks offer in-home consultations, correct?
Well, through COVID, we are doing that virtually.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Yes, but I think that is made it more available to some people who maybe their schedules just didn't permit to have somebody in their home, or they felt there was this need to really kind of clean up everything. And so by doing it virtually, it allows more people to invite you into their home if they might not have done so otherwise.
Gotcha. I see. And talk about the new program that Sherwin-Williams has, the Living Well program.
Yeah, so as a result of all of the changes in 2020, we're looking for some sort of mindful living to be created in our spaces. And as a result of that, Sherwin-Williams created the Living Well collection. And it's a mix of colors and paints that were carefully chosen to invite comfort, style, and well-being into anyone's home. So there's 11 different palettes that really can plug into any kind of personality types example of wellness. So whether you reach that place in a spa aspect or maybe in earthy tones, it's going to be different for everyone. And so we've created little palettes to speak to each of those desires.
Oh, that's great. And how many colors are in a palette?
I think there's about 10.
Okay. So are they sort of interchangeable? Because I know that's a big question for homeowners. One of the popular things when we do the free design consultations for homeowners at the home shows is just picking colors, and they want the colors to flow from one room into another and not be, you know, from one room to another, and it's sort of a shock because it's the color doesn't really flow with what was in the previous room. And
exactly.
So being able to choose if these colors, this color palette has already been carefully chosen, that's a very safe bet to be able to say, okay, I'm going to choose these three colors for, you know, the different rooms in my home, and you're not going to be shocked or have to repaint.
Absolutely. It'll create harmony without having to guess. So if you know that you want something that is in a beige category and then a bluish, but you don't want that bluish to look purple, you know that they're in this collection together, that's how they're going to really look. Mm-hmm. You're not in for a shock there.
Right, right. And our go-to color, we've got this on our walls at home and also in a couple of rental units is clapboard.
Okay.
And that's through the historic Charleston collection that Sherwin-Williams has. And clapboard, we painted it on our house 11 years ago and on the most of the interior walls and love it today. Even we're not sick of it. It's one of those things that we haven't gotten sick of, I guess.
Yeah, those are the best types of colors.
Right, and something I always like to stress whenever I'm talking paint is don't buy cheap paint.
Oh, absolutely not.
There's so much effort that goes into the prep work. That's 80-90% of the time that goes into the actual.
If you're doing it right, yes, absolutely.
If you're doing it right, correct. Yeah, there's some people that, you know, you always see Sherwin-Williams does a lot of advertising around 3-day weekends like because that's like they assume that people might want to take on a paint project, you know, during the weekend. And you don't put all that effort into it, the time and everything, and then you may not be happy with the quality of the paint that goes on there. You know, paint is a very small part of the entire budget to as far as painting your house goes, and so always go for quality paint. I think about I was taking my daughter one time to soccer practice, and we were driving by the Habitat for Humanity store downtown, and there was a big sign that said free paint, and she very excitedly said, "Daddy, free paint!" And I laughed and laughed and laughed because I explained to her about the, you know, you don't want free paint. That's just not a good investment. But anyways, well, how can folks get more information about Sherwin-Williams in general, or if they wanted to touch base with you?
Yeah, so if you wanted to just get general Sherwin-Williams information, you can go to sherwinwilliams.com. If you're an interior designer and you wanted to sign up for an account to buy bigger, or not buy, but order larger samples, you can do that through mys-w.com. And if you want to check out our Instagram, it's at @swdesignpros.
All right. Well, good deal. And visit one of the many Sherwin-Williams locations throughout the Charleston area as well. Well, we have been talking with Tori Mullen with Sherwin-Williams Paints. Thanks so much, Tori.
Yeah, thank you.
And joining us on the phone now is Tricia Peterson with Island House Real Estate. How you doing, Tricia?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Just fine, thanks. Tricia, take a moment and tell everybody about Island House Real Estate.
Yeah, thank you. And so I am the owner and broker in charge of Island House Real Estate. I started the company in 2018. I've been doing real estate for about 11 years now. So we're a small brokerage firm. I have 5 agents that work with me, and we do real estate all over the Charleston area.
Gotcha. Okay, good deal. And Tricia, I thought you pointed out before the interview that it might be kind of interesting to talk about maybe how the real estate market has changed in 2020 since COVID, and also maybe give us an update on how January 2021 real estate statistics are going.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and when I was preparing for talking to you this morning, I was looking back, and I thought it was ironic that a year ago we were, you know, we had done a radio interview, and it was about how I was pooling my resources to help medical workers with free housing, preparing for the impact of COVID-19 in Charleston, because it was so new and unknown of what was going to happen, and it was like we were preparing for the worst, for sure. Mm-hmm. It's crazy that a year later, I mean, we're still dealing with the impacts of COVID-19, but the real estate market just skyrocketed, which has never really anything I don't think any of us would have anticipated happening last year at this time.
There were more sales, yeah. And it didn't real estate sales in the Charleston area that set a record, didn't it, in 2020?
Yeah, they really have. Yeah, and it's really shocking. I mean, as long as I've been doing real estate, and actually as far back as we can run the stats, there's really never been anything in Charleston like this as far as the low inventory. Like right now, like at the end of January, we had about 1,900 homes in all of the Charleston area for sale, which includes apartments, condos, townhomes, single family homes. Mm. Last year at this time, we had about 5,400. So it's down 63% compared to the same month last year.
Yeah, and listings under 6,000 at the time. I remember hearing everyone talk about how we needed more listings, and that was a low number to begin with, and now it's less than 2,000.
Right? Yeah, because they really say like a balanced market, you need about 6 months supply. You know, you need to be able to basically go through your inventory in a 6 month period of time. Mm-hmm. So right now, Charleston is below a one-month supply, and in a lot of areas like Southern Mount Pleasant, Daniel Island, I mean, they're down well below a month supply. So it just doesn't give people many options as far as availability for houses, and we've seen such a huge influx of people from big cities to Charleston, like, that we just, it's really hard to keep up with the amount of influx of people and what we've got on the market right now.
You think that was a big factor then, the fact that we had a lot of newcomers moving to the area, escaping maybe the states where they had like very restrictive COVID regulations and lockdowns?
Yeah, I definitely. There's a lot of factors, but that's probably one of the biggest, is that we have just had such a fast influx of people from those cities where there's been so much lockdown, and also people that were in bigger cities now have the ability to work from home. They're able to work remotely, so they can really work from anywhere. So it seems like I'm hearing from a lot of people, you know, their quality of life is now a little, you know, it's more important, and they can live someplace beautiful like Charleston and still work out of a big city, but have a much lower cost of living and a better lifestyle, but still maintain the same job remotely.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think too, like a lot of it is, you know, we just don't, like for people that live in Charleston right now, a lot of clients we've had in the past that we thought we could, you know, that had wanted to sell, now they're just really reluctant to sell because it's so hard to find anything else. Mm-hmm. And the prices have went up so much this past year that, you know, they have equity in their home that they'd be able to recoup, but then they're like, kind of the same thing keeps coming up. Well, where do I go?
Yep.
Like, you know, there's just not a lot of options as far as like what they find if they don't necessarily have to move.
Right. What's the people that are moving to Charleston from some of these other areas? Are they able to sell their homes, you know, wherever they are moving from? How's the market for in some of those other areas?
Yeah, it depends on where they're coming from, but from the places that it seems like we're getting a lot of people, like New York and New Jersey and, you know, those cities, it seems like it's definitely more difficult than it had been, or they're taking a much lower price than they would have a year ago.
Mm.
It definitely seems like, you know, and I think there's a lot of other areas like Charleston where, you know, Florida is like a popular destination. And I feel like there's a lot of places like Charleston where the prices are still pretty competitive,
mm-hmm.
compared to other cities. So like somebody moving from New York, they're pretty amazed at what they can get for the prices of what we have here.
Big factor also have been the low interest rates, because obviously you might have the desire to buy, but perhaps the low interest rates allow you to buy a more expensive or bigger house, and if you didn't have that, then there might not have been such a big big sales record for 2020 for real estate.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're still, like, for most loans are down below 3%, which is, and it's been that way pretty consistently this year. So it is amazing. And I think that's where it is a good balance for people, because a lot of people, you know, see these prices being so much higher. And in certain areas, like, you know, the Charleston Peninsula, the prices are up 26% over what they were last year. But the interest rates are so low. So sometimes it really does balance out that your monthly payment isn't that much different, even though you're paying more than, you know, you would have paid before.
Mm-hmm. So did the month of January 2021, did the trend just continue from December of 2020 with closings being really high and so forth?
No, it actually dipped down in January compared to December. The prices continue to go up and the inventory continue to go down, but the actual amount of closed sales dropped down and the volume of money that actually closed dropped down. But it seems like that's really a correlation to the inventory just dipping down and down. So there's just not as many properties available to close, because there's a lot of buyers out there trying to find things, or that are renting until they can find something. But the actual amount of closed properties seems to kind of be consistently going down with the amount of inventory, mm-hmm. which makes sense.
People don't like feeling that pressure of making a decision so quickly, but in a lot of cases it's necessary. A listing goes up, and there's so many people that are looking to buy that. Are you suggesting to your clients that they move quickly?
Yeah, in most circumstances, I mean, unless, you know, you really see that, you know, everybody, it seems like most people are really trying to test the market now with listings and the prices that they're asking for houses. So it has to be reasonable for sure. But I mean, the average days on market right now is 11 days in all of the three counties. Mm. So there's really not much sitting on the market for very long. And most listings are getting over 99% of asking price. So it's not, you know, there's just, if you know that is the house you want, then it's definitely, you just need to move and, you know, kind of go full steam ahead to make sure that you secure it. And, you know, and that's where I really have to leave it into the buyer's hands. You know, you educate them as much as, you educate them as much as you can, as far as, you know, if this is really what you want, like, this is what we need to do. If you're not sure, you know, there'll be another house. Like, mm-hmm. you hate to pressure people too much that they're making bad decisions and they're not making the decision that's right for them in this crazy market. But it's definitely a balance of, if somebody really needs a house and it's what they want, there's definitely, this is where it takes a little more creativity to make sure that when there's multiple offers that you're able to secure that house.
Mm-hmm. What about sellers? You know, you give sellers lots of advice about how to prepare your home for sale and so forth. Is that super necessary right now if we're in a seller's market?
Yeah, I mean, I still feel like it is. I feel like, you know, you always want to put your best foot forward. And I know there's a lot of agents that are, you know, maybe just doing like an exterior photo and putting a listing on and they're selling. But I think in the grand scheme, like, you still want to do all of the marketing and professional photography. You want to make sure your house looks the best, because you're going to get the most amount of money for it when you're prepared and it looks the best.
So, yeah.
You know, there might be, you know, a lot of properties are selling off market now before they even hit the MLS, because there's so many buyers that are looking themselves and agents that are asking. And, you know, so a lot of properties definitely are selling before they even hit the MLS. But I'm still pretty much, like, as buyers, sellers are getting ready to list, we're still, for the most part, going through the same activities that we went through before, you know, touching up paint and making sure that when it comes on the market that it's in the best shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have listeners that probably could use your services, Tricia, and we'll give your contact information in a minute here. But then we have other listeners that aren't planning to sell their house, and you know, to those folks that are not planning to sell, I've always strongly suggested that if you're doing work in your house, don't wait to the a month or two before you're planning to sell to do a bunch of repairs and so forth. Remodel your home right now, enjoy it while you're living in it, and then when you go to sell, you'll more than likely get back most of your investment, depending on exactly what the remodel is and what it costs. So rather than wait sometimes people will sort of cheap out when it comes to like putting down new flooring. They might not that's not the kind of floor that they would want to have in their own home, but they're looking to make updates to put it on the market, and then sadly sometimes homeowners will buy the house and then just tear out those superficial repairs and so forth, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And definitely, if there's any thought that sellers, homeowners want to sell anytime in the future, always check in with your realtor and just get their opinions on what you're doing before you do it, because a lot of times we'll go on a listing appointment and we've had clients that have remodeled or made changes to their house, which actually will hurt them more than help them. And so there's a lot of things that if you think you're going to sell in the future and you're going to do some remodeling, I always suggest just to send them a quick message and just say, hey, this is what we're thinking about doing, do you have any thoughts on it? Because you may not want a bathtub in your house, and you may go through and remodel all of your bathrooms, and remove the bathtubs. But it definitely is that's kind of one of those things that comes up when you go to sell your house. If you've got a family with young kids, they're going to want a bathtub.
So right.
Some things you can, you're eliminating buyers for sure by making some modifications. So
yeah,
it's good to check in.
Sure.
Anybody that, put in a pool this year and tried to sell their house, hit the jackpot. Because it was everybody wanted a pool.
Right.
After being stuck home for months on end. And, it's they're just, you could not find enough houses.
Yeah.
Pools.
Pool permits are sky high for pool companies right now.
But you're
absolutely right. There's that tendency. A lot of people are taking out the bathtub and replacing it with a walk-in shower, and they may not be thinking about the resale and that's a really good point to talk to a real estate agent like yourself to get some advice before you end up investing a lot of time and effort into making repairs. And speaking of right. renovations, Tricia, you have a very unique program at Island House Real Estate, and where you fix up homes and then put them on the market. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, about 4 years ago, we partnered up with a contractor and an interior designer, and we find properties in the Charleston area that are in need of remodeling or renovations, and the contractor, the construction company, and the interior designer come up with a new plan, remodel it, and really by the time the houses are complete, they're completely different than they were whenever that we purchased them. So it's not your traditional flip where we're just putting paint and making a few modifications. It's a pretty extensive remodel with adding bathrooms, removing walls, adding walls, doing a lot of stuff which make the house a much better floor plan. So we've been doing that, and it's really the process over the years has gotten very fine-tuned. The contractor has his own in-house trade, so they're able to do a lot of these projects in, by the start to finish, 2-3 months, they're back on the market, which is pretty amazing for a complete home renovation. So we've got a couple right now that we're working on that will be coming on the market fairly soon. And we're going to keep it going. We just keep looking, pretty much always we're looking for homes that are in need of those renovations and repairs or just are out of date. And that's my job, is to always be looking to see if I see a good opportunity on something in a great area, and I'm scouting them out and, in hopes that it'll work out as our next project house.
Where are these two houses that Island House Real Estate is working on now? Where are they located?
They're both on Daniel Island, in Daniel Island Park.
Nice. Very nice. So it's good, it's not like some far flung location. These are good locations, and it kind of reminds me a little
that's
bit.
Really the,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That?
No, you go ahead.
Yeah, that's really the main goal is to find a great location and a really good lot. You know, the house doesn't necessarily matter as much as the location and the lot that it sits on. Those are the things we really can't necessarily change. So we try to find, you know, larger lots in a good location. Most of the project houses have been on Daniel Island or Southern Mount Pleasant. And we're always looking in different areas. It just seems like we tend to go with the areas that will support a bigger price change because they really are going in and, you know, it's a new roof and windows and hot water tanks. And there's a lot of money that we put into making these houses better. So it just has to make sense that it will sell
for the
price that we put into it.
These are significant renovations versus just cosmetic changes that
right.
Somebody
exactly.
might do to try to you know, put some lipstick on the property that
right.
they're putting on. That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any do you have a waiting list for these two homes as far as buyers go?
Because we don't really, you know, we honestly don't really put them out there or do any advertising or let anybody walk through them until they're done. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had in the past, we had sold some before they were listed, and it, you know, we really, with an interior designer being involved, it's definitely best we found to let her pick everything out and do everything the way that she would want to do it. And it, when we get people, buyers involved too early, it becomes more of a custom project where buyers are changing things, and it wasn't really the goal to do it that way. So we really try to keep it under the radar as much as we can, like, and then once they're ready to come on the market, then we do, like, really our first showings, walkthroughs, everything when they're listed.
Mm. You get that wow factor.
Yeah.
That's so great, and you can always me as a you know being with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, I can always tell a room or a home that has an interior designer involved in the project because it's just it's the next level in terms of how it looks and feels and works for you as the owner of that property. So you're really doing it the right way.
It's amazing, yeah. And I think, too, like, we've been, for so many years, we've been in that mindset of everything has to be open, you know, that open living space. And now it seems like more and more we're going into houses, and she's like, we need to add a wall. You know, we're adding walls to separate spaces more. And it seems so hard to visualize for me, like, because I was like, oh, I don't know. But then when it's done, it's like, oh, my gosh, you would never know that wall wasn't there, and it seems exactly the way it was supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
but it's so hard for somebody that's not doing that regularly to visualize.
Yeah, I can see that making sense, for sure. Well, good deal. Well, how can folks get more information about Island House Real Estate? And you can help them if someone is looking to put their house on the market, or you can help them if they are looking to buy a house. And you can help them if they are maybe looking to sell their house and enter the renovation program with Island House Real Estate.
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is islandhouserealestate.com. We're on Instagram and Facebook at Island House Real Estate. And my email is Tricia, T-R-I-C-I-A, at Island House Real Estate. My phone number is 843-847-1762.
All right, great. And you can always find Island House Real Estate on our website, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, and within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine. Well, we've been talking with Tricia Peterson with Island House Real Estate. Thanks so much, Tricia.
Thank you.
And joining us on the phone right now is remodeling contractor Tommy Albrecht with Just Additions and Remodeling. How you doing, Tommy?
Good. How's it going?
Good, thank you. Tommy, take a moment and tell everybody about Just Additions and Remodeling.
So the previous owner, Richard Runnels, I started working for him about a year and a half, two years ago. I guess it'd be about a year and a half ago. And like I was saying, about 6 months into it, he offered to sell, or he told me he was considering selling the business, and wanted to know what I was thinking about it, and I gave some thought for a while, and like I was saying, I grew up, you know, my dad fixed and flipped homes for a few years, and never thought of myself as, you know, never thought I would go the architectural or design builder route, but I really, really enjoyed it for the time that I was working for Richard, and saw a lot of potential there for the business. And, you know, like I was saying, it was either I could stick with it and wait for somebody else to come along or go for it myself. And my dad started his own business when he was 30, and I felt like I was a little young, but I decided it was a good time for me to go for it. So I just finished my first month, and we're doing really well. We're really busy, and I'm doing several design builds for additions, and got pretty much everything, you know, a very broad range of projects on contract, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, first of all, congratulations on taking over the business, Just Additions and Remodeling. And we have nothing but the highest respect for the founder of Just Additions and Remodeling, Richard Runnels. And he just recently retired, and he and his wife built a house in North Carolina in the mountains, and so he's enjoying retirement. And what great timing, because he hired you and eventually felt very confident in offering you the business if you wanted to buy it from him, and that's what you've done now, and you're now you're the boss man now for a month now.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I really enjoyed working for him, and I learned a lot. It's one of those things, you know. I suppose I kind of think back to what I thought I knew before, you know, I started working for him, and how much I've learned in such a short period of time. Like I said, you know, I helped my dad for a few years off and on while I was in college, fixing and flipping homes, and I learned a lot there in the field. But as far as the design build, you know, designing and building additions and managing projects and all, I learned a lot from Richard regarding that. And my previous experience in commercial site work construction, I learned the basics of estimating, basically from there, of unit estimating. Just the whole bidding, you know, and construction, pre-construction process.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And you've got sawdust in your genes, because that Albrecht name, people from the Charleston area may recognize that. That's an old Charleston name, and the Albrechts own Southern Lumber and Millwork, right? And you've got family that were connected to Southern Lumber.
Yes, sir. My great grandfather, Herman Albrecht, started Southern Lumber, and so my grandfather, Grandpa Tommy, his sons, and he and my grandma, Grandma Helen, worked there. And my dad, who was one of their, four kids, he worked at Southern Lumber as well while he was a kid, and went off and started his own two companies and sold them both. And then, like I said, I started, you know, he started fixing and flipping homes, and I helped him out. And I worked at Southern Lumber for a year while I was in college, just, you know, in the summertime and wintertime, to make some money while I was in college. And I also helped my dad, and that's where I guess my interest in it started.
Well, good deal. Well, congratulations on acquiring Just Additions and Remodeling, and talk about some of the work that Just Additions and Remodeling is capable of doing for homeowners.
So I've got quite a range of projects right now. We've got a built-in, some cabinets, built-in project that we're doing in a personal office, which is becoming a pretty frequent, I mean, you know, with everybody working from home nowadays, there's been a lot of opportunity for us there. And We've got a couple bathrooms going on. We've got I've got a large addition, 1,100 square foot addition that I'm designing or finishing up the design on Wadenlaw, and another addition that I just started. I'm about halfway done with designing in Sneak Farm, and yeah, so a lot of kitchen design builds, addition design builds, and smaller projects, bathrooms and miscellaneous interior projects.
Gotcha. Now, what exactly do you mean when you say design build?
So I handle, I guess you could say one huge benefit to the way that we operate for homeowners is the kind of one-stop, you know, we coordinate the design. I do all of these designs myself, and we have a CAD software that that we use that Richard trained me on, and basically I go on, you know, if I'm looking at a bathroom or an addition, I'll meet with the homeowner and give him a budget and on design and the construction, and get started on the design, and measure everything up and coordinate with them on what they're looking for, and then I'll go to the engineer, as opposed to, you know, a lot of homeowners, they have to coordinate with a builder, an architect, an engineer, sometimes an interior designer. You know, there's a lot of people to coordinate with, and I know as a builder as well that having to coordinate or having to get the homeowner to contact the engineer and the architect when, you know, when we have questions about the plans and that sort of deal, it's a lot of work trying to coordinate all these people. So I'm really trying to market myself and put myself out there as just kind of a one-stop architect, builder, and try to coordinate all that myself, and we sub out the engineering, but we've been using the same engineer for many years, and it makes things a lot easier on our end and on the homeowner's end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always thought of design build as the right hand knows what the left hand is doing and vice versa versus and that's in contrast. Sometimes if there's an architect involved, there might be a bit of a disconnect between the architect and the builder of what, you know, the architect wants to be constructed, and sometimes there are alternatives to what the architect is specifying that don't compromise the integrity, the building integrity, or the strength of the project, but they are a less expensive alternative to what the architect is suggesting, and that ends up being, you know, several phone calls and maybe a meeting or two and just a lot of time and money that can be that ends up being spent on something like that, versus if it's all in house design build, you and the homeowner know exactly what is to be planned and what is to be constructed, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it fills in a lot of gaps. You know, like you were saying, the disconnect between the architect and the builder, that's pretty frequent, and it's just, you know, when I have my eyes on a project from the design to the construction, it makes the process a lot smoother, and as far as budget, you know, staying on budget, that's a major thing, because architects, you know, they gather their pricing from builders and from other sources, and I see the costs every day. You know, I get the invoices, I write the checks and all, so I know what these things actually cost, so I can give homeowners, you know, real budgets, that when we get done with the design and we give them a proposal on the construction, you know, they'll we'll stick to that budget. So long as nothing major changes with the construction and all, that budget is, you know, I mean, these days it is difficult because of the fluctuating prices of lumber and materials in general. But yeah, we've done really well with sticking to our budgets and that whole design build, seeing it from the design to the construction really facilitates that.
Right. That makes sense. Well, here's the big question that I bet you get all the time, and that is how far out are you working? So if a homeowner contacted you today, when might you be able to start a project for them?
Well, it's tough to say because projects are you know, different. We operate, you know, we do a lot of different, like I was saying, you know, varies pretty widely on projects, you know, from built-ins to additions and all. So it does depend on what kind of project, because if there's, you know, if we're designing an addition, it'll take several weeks, you know, may take 4 or 6, even depending on how large, you know, several months to design something. And if it's just like a bathroom remodel, you know, between ordering, sometimes there's some design involved, unless we're replacing fixtures, you know, in their existing locations. But something like a bathroom or a kitchen, usually about 6 or 8 weeks. And additions, usually several months. Right now we're booked up for the next couple months on our smaller projects. And I've got a lot of these larger designs going on right now. So in probably in about 3-4 months, we'll be pretty busy with some larger projects.
Good deal. So people should not sit in their hands and wait. They should contact Just Additions and Remodeling very soon if they want to get their project off the ground. You know, at a date. Not too far in the future. How can folks get more information about Just Additions and Remodeling, Tommy?
Right now we're revamping our website. It should be posting in the next day or two. A totally renovated website, but we'll have on there a contact us form that you can fill out, and it'll if you're interested in some pricing on a project or just want to talk to me about some things. You can submit some information there. We also on our website you'll see our office number and my business email address. We also are on Facebook, Instagram, Home Advisor, and any of those places are great places to contact us or see what kind of current projects we've got going on.
All right, good deal. And you can always find Just Additions and Remodeling in the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we have been talking with Tommy Albrecht with Just Additions and Remodeling. Thanks so much, Tommy.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, and the Charleston Fall Home Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com, home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next Saturday.